Good evening. We are going to study Jonah chapter 3 and 4 tonight. But first, I would like to refresh our memories from where we left off last time. And I got to refresh mine because I didn't remember if I did chapter 2 or not. Does anybody remember? Okay, well, we'll go through chapter 2 too. In chapter 1, we see that God has asked Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful, Father, to giving us this time, Father, as men, Father, as leaders, Father. We pray, dear Lord, that you just be with each and every one of us. And Father, we ask you now to bless the time here, Father. Be with me, Father, and help me to present thy word, Father, as you would have it. And may your name be lifted upon high. We just love you and give you thanks, for it's in your name. Amen. Okay, we saw that God had asked Jonah to go to Nineveh in chapter 1. And Jonah went totally the opposite way. And we see then that God created a great storm. That the storm was so fierce that it even, you know, had the mariners and the shipmaster worried. He had them scared. And when I was doing this, I thought, wow. I said, why is it, or how fierce was this storm to have them scared the shipmaster and the mariners? Because they're used to rough seas. So we have to assume that it was a rough, something they had never seen before. And then God told him to go to Nineveh, but we see that he refused. And he, like I say, he went the opposite way. I'm starting to repeat myself here. I better keep up with my notes. So we see that God sent a storm. And then in verse 17, we see that God prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. And we also see there that it's in the verse, I'll read it. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. We see here that Jonah's stubbornness and we also see that he was in there in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's how long it took him before he came before God in prayer and asking him. You know, his stubbornness we see in verse 2 of chapter 1 when he told him to go. And he didn't go. He went the opposite way. That was on verse 3, I'm sorry. Then we see at the end of chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited, but Jonah upon the dry land. We see God making provision for Jonah in answering his prayer. You know, he could have left him out in the sea and let him swim back to shore, but he prepared a place for him. Now let's read chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Now Jonah is doing what God had commanded him to do. We see him rising up and doing what he was told to do in the beginning of verse 2, where he tells him to arise, go to Nineveh. Now he tells him again, he tells him, rise and go to Nineveh. In verse 3, it tells him, it says that Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh. Now he's doing what God has asked him to do. Now let's continue reading here. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a 3 days' journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Here he's preaching what God has given him. And that's what God has given him to preach to Nineveh, is that y'all are, you know, it's going to get destroyed. Now, in verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came into the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to proclaim and publish through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God, yea, let them turn every one of his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. You know, doing this lesson, I thought, you know, America needs a revival. It needs it bad. You know, we look at sin and think it's funny. You know, we hear sin and we laugh at it. We need to see sin the way God sees it and stop calling some of the things that it's a lifestyle. You know, he was born like that. God makes no mistakes, my friends. You know, but they try to push it so much to you that after a while, you know, if you don't know, you'll lose what's right and what's wrong. Right. You know, and that's the way they feed you sin, is by accepting it. Now, we got to remember that Nineveh was a very, very sinful place. But we see that Nineveh repented from the Bible tells us from the king down to the cattle. I mean, the cattle didn't repent, but it says from the top to the down, you know, that's how they all repented, from the rich to the poor, I guess would be better said. They all repented. And it was a decree that was made by the king. Then we keep reading here. It says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, we got to remember that in Ephesians, let me see where I write it down in. Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace we are saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here it says, they knew, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. What actually this means is he saw them repent. He saw the whole city repent. So there is no reason why we should believe that God couldn't save America. Not at all. There's no reason to even think that it would be too much of a task. We see also here that God calls Nineveh that great city. But he doesn't call it, it's not because it was a great city. It was because it was great in size. You know, it's a big city, because it says it was a 3-day journey. And when Jonah, in verse 3 of chapter 3, when Jonah went back to Nineveh because God had sent him there, it says that he walked a whole day. A whole day to, you know, in Nineveh, and then he started preaching. So it wasn't just like a little bitty town. So now we go into chapter 4. I hope I'm not going too fast. But it pleased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Before I keep going, I missed one of my points here. It was the opening of chapter 3, where it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't we glad that we serve a God that gives us second chances? Sometimes we think we don't deserve it, but he does give us second chances. Okay, and then verse 2, he says, and then he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, Lord? Was not this my saying, Lord, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful God, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of thy evil, of the evil. Let me stop there, because here we see that Jonah prayed, and here is the answer to verse 3 in chapter 1. Is Jonah says here, he says that this is why he didn't do what he was supposed to do, because he knew that he served a God that was gracious, merciful, and slow to anger, and of kindness. It says, therefore, now I saw the Lord take a beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When in the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and he wished he himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let me see now. We see here a picture of Jonah. Instead of being happy for the people of Nineveh, in repenting, Jonah is angry because God forgave them. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. And there we can put the verse that I read about Jonah in chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented thee of the evil. We see that Jonah is greatly mad. I think that's how the Bible says it, that he was mad because God had saved Jonah. That's why he was sitting down and watching. He wanted to see what was going to happen to Nineveh. Yeah. He's sitting there, and this is how merciful God was, that he even provided shade for him in hopes that he would change his heart. You know, because Jonah just did not like Nineveh. He hated everything about Nineveh. I remember reading a saying that said, the people that God loves might be the people that you wish ill upon. I think I said that right. Then we see in verse 11, and he says, should I not spare Nineveh? And once again, he calls it the great city. He says, because there was 120,000 children. Because on the last verse of that, the end of that verse, it says they couldn't discern between their right hand and their left hand. Now, I don't know how many people we have here in America that are children. We have to think about that. And during this lesson, I kept on thinking, I said, you know, why is it that he can't do that here? Why is that? God answers prayer. God answers, you know, nothing goes unanswered as far as God goes in answering our prayers. If we were all diligently, or shall I say, if the whole America was to repent and ask God for forgiveness, you know, he could repent of whatever America deserves. I guess that's the best way to put it is, you know, we have churches nowadays that have allowed the world to come in. We see this on a daily basis. You know, the old saying says that it is great to have a church in the world, but it's not good to have the world in the church. And nowadays, you know, it's happened to what places that I have gone to church at. That's why I say we, because I have had that happen to us, where we weren't there to give God thanks, praise God. We were there to see what kind of games we were going to be playing that day. You know, I don't know how long all of y'all been here, but I know that times have changed. And I, as myself, are responsible because I never stood up and said nothing. I just went along. And sin is sin. I just pray that we continue to giving God thanks, praising, praying for each other. You know, and when we pray for each other, you know, it should be that, you know, we wish the best, but we also wish what God's wishes are for that person. If you don't mind, I'd like to say something that Charlene told me one day. I'm sure she told you too. I was going out this door and she says, "Brother Lopez, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And she told me that my granddaughter, Bailey, the taller one, she goes, "You and her have a real, how did she call it? A special bond," is what she called it. And she goes, "She's almost ready for salvation. So now I look forward for that day." Amen. You know why? Because that will be a testimony to Miss Charlene. Not to me. It'll be a testimony for her of what she used to teach here and believed in. And I give God the glory for it. I give God the glory for having allowed her to be in my granddaughter's life. You know, we got to remember that there is nothing that God can't do. Nothing at all. You know, people might not believe that, but it is true. I don't know, like I said, you know, I've gone through a few different churches, and none of them are like this one and like Fair Park, under the teaching of Brother Heimer. You know, he's always been a man of God. He's always been a man of God. And I hope when we go out, I hope a lot of our men here are there for it. That would show that we're sincere. I know some of us might work, you know, I don't mean, if you can take the day off, fine. But we need to go and show that we're sincere in saving people and getting people to be saved, shall I say. You know, time and time again, folks, it's slipping away for us. We're not going to be here forever. We got to make sure that we have two or three people to replace us. You know, and the only way we're going to do it is if we go out. We have to go out. If the church is going to live, it has to go out. We have to go and compel them to come in. I'm going to let you all men out early. I remember Sunday school teacher used to tell us, don't go out in the hallways making noise because there's just some other people in class. Now that I say that, I remember another thing too is my Sunday school teacher that when I used to go to Mansfield Church up there, he always used to dismiss us and say, don't read your Bible, it says study it. He goes, study it like you're going to teach a class. And at first I never, it quite didn't hit me. But one day I found out why he said that. His daddy was the preacher. And he had gotten into an accident down the street. So he comes up and he goes, can you teach a class? And I said, yes. I said, okay. And I thought, that's why he kept on always saying. So I'd like to leave you all with that same saying that my Sunday school teacher saying. Study your Bible like you're going to teach a class. Because you just never know. You never know. All right, folks, let me pray and we can be dismissed. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Father, for this time. And Father, I just pray, dear Lord, that with my twisted tongue, Father, that the things came out the way you would have them, Father, that we know, Father, that you are able to do anything for us, Father, if we ask. And Father, we just love you, Father, and I pray for our church, Father, that it may grow, not only in numbers, Father, but in knowing you, Father, knowing thy word. Father, we just ask you now to go with us and be with us, Father, for it's in your name. Amen.